Okay, well, let's get going. We actually have time to do this, and I assume Veltz is coming to take us through Luke 2, which is always fun to read through, find out what it really says. We should leave him time. But this is Isaiah 62, 10 to 12 is the text for Christmas. There's so many good Christmas texts. If you look in the lectionary, you have choices. You have Christmas Eve, you have Christmas Day, you got another one on Christmas Day. It's almost as festive as Easter. But 62:10 to 12 is the one for Christmas Day, I believe. And we'll take a look at it. To get the context here, you really have to go back at least to the beginning of the chapter, if not more, or further back. But chapter 62 is kind of starts this way in verse 1. For the sake of Zion, I will not keep silent. For the sake of Jerusalem, I will not restrain myself. The prophet, it's almost as though he's come to grips with all the issues here, and now finally can't be quiet about the good news any longer. Which in itself is kind of a nice motif. You cannot not speak the gospel. Isagogically, we're in so-called third Isaiah, and that this connects up to the rest of the book is now actually entertained by second and third Isaiah theorists who want to see the book have some semblance of unity of message, which is kind of a novel idea, I suppose. My personal view, and this is simply my own assumption, is that much of what so-called second and third Isaiah could well have been written by Isaiah under Manasseh. I think once Hezekiah's done and Manasseh takes over, any hopes for any messianic glory in the 7th century were dashed, and Isaiah, strangely enough, does not mention Manasseh in 1:1 in the heading. He talks about his prophecy under the four kings, ending with Hezekiah. So I just at least entertain this hypothesis that he kind of goes underground and talks about the glory that is yet to come, but certainly is in the future, and even more so in the future now that we got Manasseh to deal with. So, in many ways, I think Manasseh is a sign that we're going to get destroyed. If that's true, and again, that's pretty my hypothesis, then this business of not being able to be silent anymore sort of comes blasting out in chapter 62. And whether it's the prophet or Yahweh speaking is somewhat irrelevant. It's almost as though God himself simply has to say, hey, look at what's coming down the pike here. This is good stuff. And that's the context lies behind verses 10 to 12, which are really at the end of this chapter now, and pick up a lot of the same sorts of themes, where Isaiah has said, a new day is dawning, Israel or Judah is going to be restored. There's going to be a highway coming back from wherever you guys are going in exile. It turns out to be Babylon, of course. The nations are going to notice this, as the nations were the ones whom God would use to take the people into exile. So the nations are also there and observant of God's salvation of his people. And chapter 60, which comes out as the Epiphany text, that whole business of being a light to the nations, is all part of this same motif. So you've got this whole interaction about them being exiled, about being them restored, about this highway bringing them back to Jerusalem, God restoring the city, and then everybody noticing it. Verse 10 then, Ivru, Ivru, ba sha'arim. Not too bad. Ivru from the verb avar. This is the kal imperative form. Cross over or cross through. It's a little awkward here, and I tried to track down some comments on this and probably just needed more time. Didn't get much help. What I don't know is how common avar with b. This is awkward. B sha'arim. Sha'ar, we've had that even in beginning Hebrew, means gate. Pass through or cross over in the gates. This idiom with in is awkward. I think this means kind of like pass through in, remember the gate is a fairly big area, so passing through within the gates on the way out. So you're kind of moving from inside, and again, the referent here is probably Babylon, though it could be any place where God's people are now exiled. In the gates, panu derek ha'am. Prepare, this is the same panu you get in chapter 40, prepare the way of the Lord. Panu from pana. Pana really means to turn. It's the same root as panim, face. And to face somebody means to turn in that direction. And in this sense, kind of means, it's always translated prepare. I think it means turn stuff aside, kind of like a snowplow or a bulldozer would. A snowplow is always angled, so you sort of turn the stuff off the road. And it really has this concept of kind of clearing the way. It's now not the way of Yahweh, which it is in chapter 40, but it's the Derech Ha'am. And that's a theme that you need to pick up here in these chapters, that as, it's probably a pretty good theological motif, as God, so his people, that the way of the Lord is also the way of the people. Because it's the way of the Lord, it's the way of the people. So prepare the way of the Am. Solu, solu, hamisila. Oh, that's nice alliteration. And solu is from the verb salal. It's a geminate with a double L at the end, a double lamed. And it means to raise, heap something up. And the noun that's related to it is a misila. You see the dagish in the lamed, that's showing you that you got two lameds in the noun, misila, which is the word for highway. And the reason a highway is called a highway is because it was raised up, all right, built up with ditches on the side, not so much for drainage, but to protect you from whatever had to literally come up at you to get you, like marauders, bandits, and wild animals. So lift up the highway. By the way, it's often commented how Isaiah here is doubling everything up. You have all these double imperatives, which are really distinctive of so-called second Isaiah. It's one of the arguments on the side of different author, because you don't have this in first Isaiah, but suddenly in second Isaiah, he always likes to say things twice, like Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami, starting off in chapter 40. Comfort, comfort. Pass through, lift up the highway. Saklu me evan. Saklu from sakal means to either stone or de-stone. That's kind of what, like one of your cleave word.
Right.
Yeah, stone or de-stone.
Janus word.
So de-stone it from stone. Me evan, literally, from stone, from having stones. Again, making the way smooth is the idea. Harimu nes al ha'amim. Harimu, hifil, imperative of the hollow root room, to be high in the hifil, to make high or raise. So raise up a nes, big theme here, the banner, the standard. Comes up at the end of chapter 5 already. It's in chapter 10, the ensign to the nations, whatever an ensign is supposed to mean. Most people don't know what an ensign is. I think it's a banner. Is that right? That's what I use. It's an old Navy term, isn't it? Flag. Flag. Now, that's probably corresponds to our parlance as much, but these were these, you know, things on poles. Lift up a public standard. Yeah, I guess we call it. Upon the, now this is awkward, and again, I'm not sure exactly what this is supposed to be conveying. Al ha'amim, upon the peoples. Amim is plural. So these are the Gentiles. Raise a standard upon the nation, the peoples. And I think the point is for them to see. So here the parade now is forming. It's Yahweh's parade. We call it a procession. Yahweh's parade, it's not coming home to Babylon in victory, it's leaving Babylon in victory. The people are marching in the parade, and the spectators are the Amim. Everybody else is kind of going, what is going on here? These people are supposed to be defeated and ruined and exiled, and now Johnny comes marching home. 11. Hine Yahweh Hishmia El Ketzei Ha'aretz. Hine, behold, pay attention. Yahweh Hishmia. Oh, nice classic Hifield. Nice Hifield, perfect. Actually, by the book. Yahweh, now, what tense is this? Perfect, I suppose, though everything here is kind of future. Yahweh has caused to hear, has made known, caused someone to hear, has made, and it becomes sort of the idiomatic for make known, make proclamation, El Ketzei, to the end of the Aretz, to the end of the earth. Imru, speak, say, and it's another imperative. By the way, we never have answered the question, to whom are these imperatives? We know that it's plural. He's telling somebody to do all this stuff. And again, that goes back to the problem of 40, verse 1, Nachmu, Nachmu, to whom is he telling to comfort his people? I think it's the prophetic train, but that's a view. Say to Bath Zion, I suggest translating that as an appositive, not as a construct chain. It's not daughter of Zion, but daughter Zion. Say to daughter Zion, Hine, look at this, Yish'ek Ba. Yish'e is from Yesha, same root as Yeshua. And he shall call his name Yeshua, because he will yasha his people from their sins. Your salvation, ba. Now you want to parse ba. This form is a hollow root. This is the root bo. Could be perfect third singular masculine. If you recall, that form is ambiguous with the participle. Can also be participle. Is it your salvation has come, or your salvation is coming? Either one works here, right? Huh? Well, you're getting the one. No, then you need the article. It would be Haba, would be the coming one. But this is verbal. I think it's the participle based on word order more than anything else. If it's the perfect, it should go first. And if it's the participle, it should go after the noun. Your salvation is coming. It also makes good sense. Question? No, I think it means one or the other. Yeah, I don't think it's intentionally ambiguous on this one, because, yeah, right. Hine, another Hine. By the way, things happen in threes as well. You get three Hines in chapter 40. Remember that you get those three key clauses in 40? Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, tell her that, her iniquity, that she has received from the Lord's hand. Here you got three Hines. Hine, behold, Sikaro ito. His sakar is with him. A sakar is your day's wages, what you got paid at the end of the day. So it's kind of the result of your day's work. Is ito with him, and his pe'ulatho, this is another word not so much for the pay, but for the product of a day's work. Pa'al is really the verb to do or make. Pa'al. So his accomplishment wouldn't be a bad way of translating this, is lifanao, before him, to his face. And what is his accomplishment, the salvation? What is it? It's the people. That's who's on the road, right? That's what God has achieved. He has his people back, all right? And they are alive and well and on the road to Zion. That's the accomplishment. He didn't build a desk. He didn't, just have a victory for the sake of declaring a victory in the spoils of war. But it's the people. Because now we get back to the people. Verse 12. Vakara'u. Hey, Kal, perfect.
Wow, even beginning Hebraists. Kyle perfect, third plural, and they will call Lahem to them. This is that roundabout passive. Somebody will call them, i.e. they will be called. Am HaKodesh, the people of the holiness, literally. Construct chain, the people of the holiness, or the holy people. The Ge'ulei Yahweh, Ga'al, you probably know this verb in its participial form, Goel, redeemer. Ga'al means to redeem. Ga'ul is the Kal passive participle, the redeemed, the redeemed of Yahweh. And Lach Yikare, to you, it's feminine. The you here, feminine, is probably Bath Zion, daughter Zion. And to you, Yikare, now he uses the real passive. It's kind of a parallel to the previous idiom. The Niphal, Yikare is Niphal. And to you, it will be called Dirusha Ir Lo Nezava. You get a new name. All right, to you it will be called Dirusha, Kal, passive participle, feminine of Darash. Now, this is a translational problem. Darash really is usually translated seek, as in seek the Lord, or go to the temple for prayer. The basic sort of etymological meaning of Darash is to tread or beat a path to, go someplace. And it can be used negatively as something that's sort of tread on, don't tread on me, kind of a thing. Here it's got to be positive, but you will find translations playing between these two concepts. And you will be called sought out, as though now Zion is the place where people want to go. Sought out. Let's go there, because Yahweh's there, because victory is there, because salvation is there. Or you will be called tread out, tread on, not in a negative sense, but as the place where people have beaten a path to, in the sense of trafficked, populated, as an antithesis to a city that's destroyed and abandoned, see, like a ghost town. Either one of those kind of get the same idea across. My choice of beat a path to as kind of the catch-all here, I think works at both sides of that street. People beat a path to it because you want to go there. That's the idea. And Ir Lo Ne'uzah, a city, again, nice, this is the Niphal participle, feminine singular of Azav, forsaken, a city lo, not forsaken. All right? Now, in chapter 6, Isaiah said that the city would be azavd, azuvah. It would be forsaken. And you get that same sort of reversal of names earlier in the chapter where he plays with forsaken and desolation and says you're getting a new name. And he picks that up here at the end now. The reason they got a new name in the first verses of this chapter is because they got married to Yahweh, bride of Christ kind of stuff, bride of God kind of stuff. And now the people have this new name because they're coming home to Zion. Okay. Well, okay, we better quit there. We got a lot to do on the Greek side here. Any comments or questions?
And in the first part of verse 12, Karu Lahem.
Right.
Now, is that an idiom with kara, or is that kind of a lamed being used like a definite object?
No, it's an idiom with kara. They will call with reference to them is for naming.
For naming.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the best way to take that. I'll give one homiletic. I preached on this one year and picked up on the names and played with the motif of when a baby's born, everybody's asking, what did you name the baby? When this baby is born, we get a new name. It's not the baby's, the baby's name is terribly significant, and you can go from Jesus to Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and all the names for this baby. But there's another theme here, and that's we get a new name too, see, and kind of pick up on that, because the emphasis here is on that as the result of what this is all about, that it's the people that matter to Yahweh. That's the object of his game. Okay.